Plus 49.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Plus 49. As winter blanks Germany with its first snow, we will take a closer look at the Advent season and how the Germans celebrate this time of the year in today's cultural segment. But first, we will sum up this week's highlights after a short break. So sit back, make yourself a nice Glühwein, and enjoy this next song. Let's start today's episode with some updates around Berlin and Germany. But first, let's focus on Berlin. According to the BEA, Berlin's governing mayor, Kai Wegner, is advocating for easier access to the labor market for refugees. He emphasizes that integration is best achieved through prompt employment and learning the German language, indicating that current regulations need to be rethought. Wegner highlighted some positive changes, such as allowing refugees in initial reception facilities to work after 6 months instead of 9, and confirming that tolerated individuals can generally work as well. However, he expressed concern about the significant number of refugees still unable to find employment despite a labor shortage. To address this issue, he called for prompting the employment of asylum seekers in community service roles and urged the federal government to reduce legal barriers for refugees who have a prospect of staying. Additionally, he advocates for allocating more resources for language and integration courses. Easing regulations for the immigration of foreign skilled workers has also been a goal of Germany in general in order to counter the rising labor shortage. According to the German government, this year around 200,000 work-related visas are expected to be issued, representing an increase of over 10% compared to the previous year. There has been particularly strong growth in visas for studying, vocational training, and recognized foreign qualifications. A first step was the reform of the Skilled Workers Immigration Act that has been in effect for a year now, allowing skilled workers to come to Germany more quickly and get started. Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock also highlighted that application processing is centralized at the largest visa office for skilled workers in Brandenburg and the Havel, and that efforts will be made to advance digitalization to make the process even easier. In addition, since March this year, skilled workers with qualifications and work experience can enter Germany without prior recognition procedures if they have a job that offers with a gross annual salary of at least 40,770 euros. So November is coming to an end, and that means Christmas is getting closer and closer. You can already see how the city is preparing for the festive season with decorations and Christmas lights adorning streets and homes. With this festive atmosphere comes around the period of anticipation known as Advent. This Sunday marks the first Advent, which is celebrated every year on the fourth Sunday before Christmas. It signifies a time of reflection, preparation, and celebration, as families eagerly await the arrival of Jesus Christ. Advent has its roots in Christmas tradition, originating in the early centuries of Christianity as a time of fasting and prayer leading up to Christmas. Over time, it evolved into a more joyful season focused on preparations rather than penance and is being celebrated by Christians all over the world. In Germany, many families also light a special Advent wreath or Adventskranz at home. The Adventskranz is usually made of evergreen branches and holds four candles, one for each Sunday of Advent. Often also features decorative elements like ribbons, pine cones, and other ornaments. Each week, a new candle is lit during family gatherings or meals. While the first candle represents hope, the second symbolizes peace, the third stands for joy, and the fourth signifies love. And of course, let's not forget the Adventskalender, one of the most popular costume associations with Advent all over the world. An advent calendar typically consists of 24 small doors or windows, each hiding a treat or surprise behind it. Starting on December 1st, children and adults, of course, open one door each day leading up to Christmas Eve. The treats can range from chocolates to candies to small toys or even messages. Well, there is a vast array of ready-made advent calendars available in stores featuring everything from popular characters to gourmet chocolates, including the famously now Dubai chocolate. Many families also take the time to create their own personalized calendar for their loved ones. These homemade calendars are often filled with small gifts, such as handwritten notes, favorite snacks, or little trinkets. This daily ritual adds excitement and joy to the countdown to Christmas. As we embrace this magical time of the year, Advent serves as a reminder to cherish moments with loved ones while reflecting on the true meaning of Christmas. So, as we approach December, let's celebrate these beautiful moments, these beautiful traditions that bring warmth and joy into our lives during a very special season. And remember, this Sunday, it's not only the first Advent, but also falls on December the 1st, meaning you can light the first candle of your Adventskranz and open the first door of your calendar. In our interview section of today, we have Ivan, whose last name I'm trying to avoid pronouncing because I'm not very good at pronouncing his last name, so he will probably do it for us. He is the founder of Wahlheimat, or as I would say in German, Wahlheimat, which I believe it's such a beautiful word since actually we decided to make Germany our Wahlheimat. Ivan, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Sigrid, for inviting me.
So tell us, what is Wahlheimat?
Originally, there is really a beautiful German word, which is Wahlheimat, meaning the home, what we have chosen. And for many of us, it's Berlin as Wahlheimat. And by founding our organization, we changed a little bit at this word, because it's originally the Heimat is written with an I, and we are writing it with an Epsilon, which is a little bit playing on that Heimat, so something which is more international, more welcoming, and something which is changing. So that's important for us. That's the meaning of Heimat. The old German Heimat has changed a lot since just in Berlin. 25% of the population are people without citizenship here. So that's the basic idea behind the name, Wahlheimat.
But what does your organization do?
Our organization wants to use the creative energy of the newcomers in the city for this city. So meaning we want to empower newcomers to participate in political and public life in Berlin.
What do you understand as a newcomer? Because we met in an event such as that. I'm definitely not a newcomer. I've been 13 years here. Yet I found that very interesting because you had a little bit of everybody there. Not only very newcomers, but also a lot of Germans were also there.
We use English this word newcomer, which is in German you have a word which is Zugewanderte, also a beautiful word, which means all the people who are coming here and choosing Berlin as a second home or as a place to live. So you can call them expats, refugees, migrants, emigrants, immigrants, all kind of people, people who are just staying here for a longer time. But basically, we understand the people who come to Berlin as an adult from other countries.
Tell us a little bit about the sorts of events. Who are you inviting? I mean, who are the people who are talking on this sort of events? What are the key messages that are being talking about?
When you allow me, then I go back a little bit, the problem we try to tackle, and then it will be understandable what we do for this. So the basic problem is that democracy, as we know it, it's organized for national states. So, meaning that democracy is for the people who have citizenship. And since in Berlin, 1 million people has no citizenship, so 25% of the city, they are excluded from this democracy. And the problem comes when you live here in Berlin as a newcomer, and you have your job, you have your housing, your kids have school, you know the city, you have no problem with this, but you want to participate in it. And participation is super important because what we seek the most is belonging, so some kind of identity here. And you will find belonging all only, that's what we believe in very much, if you can co-create and co-own structures for belonging. And Wahlheimat wants to organize such structures. But the first step on this road is to understand the problem and to figure out why it is so important. And that's why we organize communication platforms in different kind of platforms. And what you participated was the Wahlheimat Talks series, which is a discussion room. We organize it once in a month. In this second season, what we have right now, it is a cooperation with Zentral- und Landesbibliothek Berlin, which is the central library in Berlin, and they have a quite cool pop-up saal. Since more than a year, they opened it, and we are there once every month.
Regarding the elections that are coming, as you said, 25% of the people in Berlin do not have a citizenship and they are not allowed to participate in the democracy of this country. Yet, we're very entwined with what's happening with the political system and what's happening with the government. How can we know a little bit more about what's happening in Germany and how can we participate?
Yeah, this is the big question what you're putting here, because there will be, this is a federal elections, and on the federal elections, this is we have absolutely no right to participate. So from one side, it will be very exciting because it's about our future. In a lot of sense, it will influence it. And moreover, by any researches in Germany, in the top three topics, what people interests, migration is in the top three. But mostly, this is the first comes to the first place. So actually, this election campaign partly will be about us, and this will be an interesting experience for us as well, and I think for the German society as well. And my biggest wish is to come to the point that the German part of the society will fight for the voting rights of the non-citizens, because I think this is the only way how it can change. But in this point, I also have to tell that we are what I told, that we need new structures. We at Wahlheimat want to build new structures because these elections and this form of representative democracy, what we have right now, it's also, let's say, not for the 21st century. So it's something which is haven't changed at all in the last 70, 80 years. And there is not many things in our life which haven't changed so long.
We're talking with Ivan here at Plus 49. Ivan, it's been super interesting talking to you. And you've been around in Berlin for a while now, and you've been talking with a lot of newcomers and expats and internationals also for a while. How has the newcomers changed the last couple of years? What are the things that you can see that today are more important than there was 10 years ago, for instance?
Actually, I am here 8 years, so it is on a way a short time, but it's not so short already. And the question is very interesting because I am changing myself as well a lot. So what I learned that you have a phase as a international newcomer, someone who came here to find a second home. You spend the first years to figuring out who you are. And to somehow, it's hard, the language is hard. Berlin is not an easy place to understand, find yourself. to make the first connection and the second, and then you make your first German friend. You find your job, find your housing, find your school, find your kids, I don't know. And after a while, and by founding Wahlheimat, I talked really a lot of people, so around 100 interviews we made to understand the needs and how they think. And we see that it's coming, this feeling that I want to belong here, but I don't know how to participate in this society. How I meet people with my neighborhood, I see so many problems, which I have a solution. It would be good, so good to talk with someone about this. It would be good to talk with someone about understand it better and to take part in it. And this is the super important part. Belonging by building new structures and co-owning and co-creating it.
That's why I'm going to do a small ad here. This is why we started with a whole series of the workshops of Surviving Berlin, exactly because of this. Because it's not only about arriving and knowing what is better to buy at the supermarket or having your first German friend, which I think that will be on the top complication of arriving in Germany. But the whole idea of the workshop is actually giving that small insiders into the German culture. And with this in mind, what is the most complicated thing that you experience when you start arriving in Germany?
I think for most of us, the most complicated thing is bureaucracy. It is such an overcomplicated, such a not user-friendly society, the way how it works and it looks like. And to understand it like really like a game, that you should treat it as a little bit fun, because otherwise it had really no sense, and then it makes you just feel bad. And the second one is human connections. So on one side, Berlin is a super international, open and nice city, and on the other side, Berlin is very harsh, very unfriendly. It has this double face. What we see in weather, so it's a big difference if you visit Berlin in this time right now, this gray Berlin, or you come late April or May or summertime.
You fall in love once again in Berlin.
Yeah. And after some years, we trying to understand Berlin, we built up a small identity campaign on Berlin, and the insight was that you can't describe Berlin with just one adjective. You need always two. So like rauer charm. So and in everything has a, you need two words for Berlin. Just one is not enough.
Well, it's part of this multiculturality that Berlin has itself. I mean, it has so much history and so recent history that you can still see it, just that there is no, I mean, in my last 13 years, I've never seen Berlin without any construction site.
Oh, yeah. There's a Hungarian writer living in Berlin who wrote that if you just stop on the sidewalk for 30 minutes to talk to someone, it can happen that someone surrounds you with a construction fence.
Probably true. I think this is kind of the interesting part, because when you move to Berlin, you think that, oh, this is the capital. And you believe that, oh, the capital of a first world country is kind of London or Paris or even New York. And then you arrive in Berlin and you're like, oh, this is a capital that's still under construction. That there's even places where you cannot pay with credit card.
Yes, which is actually not a city, but 400 villages somehow living together. Then you realize that all the other parts of the country try to oppress the capital. So far I know 40% of West Germans have never visited Berlin in their life. So then you have a country which is not proud of the capital, seems to be. Then you have national airlines who does not have a hub in Berlin, so they are just not flying. There is the largest city in Europe and has 7 intercontinental connections with flights.
That's nothing.
That's nothing. That's an hour from in London, or I don't know, maybe just 10 minutes. So, yeah, there is a lot of things we, it's not easy to understand.
But it's on the other side of super interesting time to be in Berlin because we're seeing this under construction. And I think that we're making history. We are being part of history.
That's a very good point, and that drives us in Valheim very much. That to this history belongs this transitional phase, what we are living in right now, especially in Germany. This transitional phase from the homogeneous national society to an international society, or I would say we are going back to this normality, which was before the whole period of national states, this 200 years that we have now. And it's a very interesting and very complex process. And I truly believe it will happen, but we are the ones who have to bring this forward. So in that sense, we are living in the best time.
In our last section with Ivan from Velheimat, I want to ask you regarding the elections. Do newcomers, internationals, expats want to vote?
Yeah, a lot of them want to vote. It is like in every society, so not 100% of them, as we have no voting rate that's 100%, but quite a lot of these people wants to vote, and of course they also need the same political education as all the other citizen, so they are also the very same part of the society as every other citizens, and you don't have to expect anything else from this part of the society as the other part of the society. So there are certain percent of the people who have different problems, which is problems for the society, and there is certain percent who are not interested in voting, but the vast majority is interested.
I think voting for us, it's going to be very important for the future. And I think this is a conversation we will have once again with you very soon, since it might change the outcome if 25% of Berliners can vote that couldn't before. And especially now that we are seeing that AfD is there and they don't really like us, so to say. It might change a lot if there is more empowerment to those who are already in this country, already working, integrating, paying taxes. So we're definitely looking forward to talking to you very soon and hopefully to move forward with the possibility for all of us to start voting.
Especially if you allow me a sentence that it is very exciting because 1.5 years after these federal elections will be the next elections in Berlin. So everything what we learn here right now, we have 1.5 years to build into the Berlin politics and to change something here.
It's spannend. It's going to be
Spannend.
spannend, super exciting, definitely. And we will talk with you again probably after the federal election. Let's see what the results tells us about what's coming. And in the meantime, for everyone outside who wants to join Wahlheimat on their monthly events, please just go to your website and you can find the information. And you also have a newsletter, right?
Yeah, we have a newsletter, we have the LinkedIn page, we have the website, and we do much more than just the Valheim talks. So join us, come to us.
Thank you, Ivan, for being here today with us.
Thank you so much, Sigrid.
Plus 49. Ask a German.
Hi guys, I'm Tara, and dear Germans, I have to ask. Every time when I'm visiting someone here in Germany, doesn't matter if it's for dinner, lunch, or whatever. One thing I always notice are the tables. And I don't mean the material they are made of or stuff like that, but how they are decorated. There's almost always a tablecloth or some candles. And don't get me wrong, I think it looks really nice, but why is that?
What you're describing is indeed a very common tradition in Germany, known as Tischdecken. As a child, I must admit that I found this practice quite annoying. It involved numerous steps and, to my young mind, seemed rather unnecessary. After all, I came to eat, not to admire the table decorations. However, now that I'm older, I have come to appreciate the effort that goes into setting a beautiful table. I realized that there is much more behind this tradition than just eating and a bit of decoration. Inviting someone over for dinner is about spending quality time together and enjoying each other's company. So why not put in the effort to create a lovely table arrangement? This realization has led me to take more care when setting the table myself. I think somehow it is a ritual to becoming an adult. There are many details to consider when you're decking a table. One key element is usually a tablecloth, which can either cover the entire table or just be placed in the center. The choice of fabric and color can set the tone for the meal and reflect the occasion. For instance, a bright floral pattern might be perfect for a summer gathering, while a more subdued color could suit a formal dinner. Another important aspect is lighting, particularly candles. They add warmth and ambience to the dining experience. It looks even better when the color of the candles match or complement the tablecloth. Additionally, using different heights for candles can create visual interest on the table. Tableware is also crucial in creating an inviting atmosphere. Choosing plates, glasses, and cutlery that coordinate with your theme can elevate the overall presentation. For example, elegant china paired with polished silverware can make even a simple meal feel special. Napkins are another detail that should not be overlooked. Folding them creatively or using napkin rings can add an extra touch of sophistication to your table setting. Furthermore, incorporating small decorative elements like fresh flowers or seasonal fruits as centerpieces can enhance the visual appeal. Lastly, consider personal touches, such as a place card or small favors for guests. These thoughtful additions show that you care about the experience and make them feel valued. So, as you can see, there are a lot of thoughts that go into these preparations, and as we grow older, we increasingly appreciate the effort that others put into creating a memorable gathering. At least that was the case for me. After all, it's not just about the food. It's about the atmosphere, the connections, and the shared moments that make an occasion truly special.
Sadly, we are at the end of today's show. We hope you enjoy it. If you don't want to wait until next week to hear more news, tips, and experiences about living in Germany, don't forget to check out our website www.plus49.de, where you will find some of our older episodes, but also much newer information. Remember, this Sunday not only marks the first Advent, but also the first day of December, meaning you can finally open that first store of your Advent calendar. So whether you're coming together with your family, your loved ones, or spending a time strolling through a Christmas markets, we hope you have a wonderful start into this very festival season. Hasta la próxima.